Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
In Las Vegas, and against overwhelming odds, Evander Holyfield would defeat Mike Tyson to recapture the World Heavyweight Championship, making him only the second man in history to ever win the World Heavyweight Championship three separate times. And after Holyfield beat Mike Tyson in 1996, he took out a full-page ad in USA Today with a big picture of himself in there with his belt. And then under it were these words: Evander, Janice, and Team Holyfield would like to say thank you to everyone who supported Evander in his championship win. He would not be the three-time heavyweight champion of the world without your prayers. And then under that was Philippians 4:13 from the Bible: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, Evander's ad and his appearance on many talk shows after beating Tyson raised some serious objections. One to tell you about is a fellow named Mitch Albom. At the time, he was a sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press. And here's what he said, and I quote. He said, "Now, I don't claim to know God, and I don't have conversations with him. But based on everything I've heard and studied about him, my guess is that God has better things to do than jump in a boxing ring. However, you would never know it from Evander Holyfield's post-fight interviews. When Evander was asked, 'How did you fight such a brilliant fight?' he replied, 'I live by the Spirit of God. It was God.'" Now, Albom goes on to say, "Now, this is foolish. Do we really believe that God cares one way or the other about how a sporting event comes out? Personally," Albom says, "I like to believe that God is involved in healing the sick, helping the needy, comforting the brokenhearted, and soothing the troubled soul. Call me a heathen, but I just don't think he cares about a rematch in Las Vegas," end of quote. Well, friends, last week I spent the entire message proving that as followers of Jesus Christ, God has a specific and an individualized will for every one of our lives, which extends down to even the smallest details of life. Who we marry, what job we end up taking, the school we go to, the college we pick, how we serve the Lord, and whether Evander Holyfield won or lost that boxing night in Las Vegas. Now, moreover, we saw last week that God offers to lead us step by step in this perfect will and plan if we'll just let him. And we looked at some examples last week. We saw how God did this for Abraham's servant looking for a wife for Isaac, how God did this for Amos when he called him into the ministry, for Jacob, how God did this for the Apostle Paul. Now, we said that today in part three, and finally in our little series on the leading of God, we were going to answer a very important question that all of this brought up, and that is, how can I discern God's will, God's plan in my life so that I can follow it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, before we launch into this, let me say one preliminary thing. And that is that when it comes to discerning God's will and leading in our lives, I cannot give you a scientific, precise formula for doing this, like 1 + 1 = 2. What I can give you is a set of biblical principles to go by, principles that when they all line up going in one specific direction, we can be confident that this is God's leading and God's plan for our life. It's a lot like navigating a ship into the harbor And what does the captain do? Well, he looks for the buoys in the channel, and he lines all the buoys up straight and follows them straight, and he ends up safely in the harbor. Well, what I'm going to give you today are the buoys that God has put in the channel for you and me. And when they all line up going in one direction, God does that when he's leading us in that direction, and he does it in a way that's impossible for us to miss. So here we go. Here come the buoys. I've got five of them to give you. Number one is the buoy of the written word of God, the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the Bible says. The same psalm, verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Finally, verse 97. I meditate on your word all day long, David says. Your commands keep my path from every wrong way. My friends, God's word, the Bible, is the greatest and most important buoy that God has placed in the channel to help guide us. And this is one of the unchanging eternal principles of God, that God never leads anybody contrary to his written word. You know, for 25 years now, I have had the opportunity to meet with people on Tuesday afternoons. And I have people who've come in over those 25 years tell me everything you can imagine about how they believe God's led them. I have been told, I've had people sit in my office and look me right in the face and say to me, God led me to move in with my girlfriend. God led me to have an abortion. God led me to be a homosexual like I am today. God led me to marry my unbelieving boyfriend. And you know, I have had the opportunity to say to all of those people in my office, you know what? I'm not sure who led you, but I can tell you one thing for sure, it was not God. And you know why it wasn't God? Because every single one of these things stands in direct opposition to what the Word of God says. And God never, ever leads anybody contrary to the Word of God. You come up and tell me any one of these things, I can tell you the will of God in about 10 seconds, because God never leads anybody contrary to the word. Friends, this is buoy number one. And God's will, God's plan, and God's leading in your life and in my life will always be lined up with this buoy. Number two. Buoy number two is the advice of godly people. And the key word in that phrase is the word godly. Advice of godly people. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Make plans by seeking advice, the Bible says. Ask others for guidance. Proverbs 11, verse 14. In a multitude of advisors, there is wisdom. My friends, asking advice from godly people. Now you say, well, wait a minute. What is a godly person by your definition? Friend, it is a person, number one, who knows Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. A person, number two, who knows the Word of God deeply. And a person, number three, who loves you enough to have the courage to tell you the truth and not just what you want to hear. That's a godly person. Asking advice from these kind of people, this is one of the most important buoys that God uses to guide His people. And you know, I can look back in my life on some of the worst decisions I've ever made in my life. And I can see in looking back that every one of those decisions did not have this buoy lined up with it. I had people standing there, godly people, telling me, this is a really bad idea. And I did it anyway. And I regretted it. Number three. Buoy number three, the circumstances of God. Listen to this verse from the book of Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap. Now, these lots were like dice. I mean, they were completely random, you would think. But look what it says. But it's every decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Friends, what these verses are telling us here in the Bible is that as followers of Jesus Christ, events that seem random aren't. But as followers of Christ, the Bible tells us that God is in every event that happens to us, carefully orchestrating those events and using them to lead us right where He wants us to go. Listen, as followers of Christ, the fact that no event entering our life is random, but that God has his all-knowing hand on every one of them, this is very important in terms of figuring out where and how God is leading us. We need to always keep a discerning eye on the circumstances around us and how they're unfolding when it comes to figuring out where God is trying to take us. You know, I told you last week that I knew for certain, without any shadow of a doubt, that God led me to McLean Bible Church 26 years ago to be the pastor. I didn't tell you how I knew that, but it was a lot because of this buoy. Let me tell you the story. I was a seminary student in 1975, and the pastor of a church that I knew nothing about, McLean Bible Church, came over to the seminary one day, and the dean of the seminary called me in his office and said, "I want you to meet this man." He introduced me, and he said, "This man would like to hire you to be the assistant pastor of McLean Bible Church. What do you think?" Well, I didn't really know. I was my last year in seminary, and I said, "All right, I tell you what, let's try it for 6 months, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll reevaluate." This was January 1975. I said, "We'll reevaluate in June." Well, I came over here, and for 6 months, I taught Sunday school and visited sick people in the hospital and did all kinds of other things, and at the end of the 6 months, I just didn't think it was right for me, and so I left. And I struggled for years to figure out, now, what was that all about? I mean, that was so random. I mean, I went and got my graduate degree at Johns Hopkins. I taught in seminary for 5 years, but I always struggled with, what in the world was those 6 months at McLean Bible Church all about? Well, I was out painting my house, and I was up on the ladder, and as clear as a bell, I remember the Lord saying to me, "You know, Lon, we're leaving the seminary. I want you in the pastorate. I want you preaching every single week." I came in for lunch and I said to Brenda, I said, "Hey, Brenda, guess what? We're leaving the seminary." She said, "Oh, really? And where are we going?" And I said, "Well, I don't know yet, but we're going in the pastorate." So I went to the dean of the seminary when I came back from vacation. And I said, "I just want to tell you, I know I'm leaving. I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I know God's leading me somewhere in the pastorate." He said, "Okay, you can work this next year, and after that, you're done." That was September 1979. In April of 1980, I came in one Monday morning to work, and one of the other professors there said to me, "Hey," he said, "did you hear what happened at McLean Bible Church over the weekend?" And I said, "No." And he said, "The pastor resigned." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yep, he's gone. They're looking for a new pastor." Now, I hadn't told anybody but the dean that I was interested in the pastorate. I went upstairs. I called Brenda. I said, "Hey, Brenda, what you doing?" She said, "Not much." I said, "I want you to go up to Giant Food and start getting boxes." I said, "Because I think we're going to McLean Bible Church." She said, "Well, she said, "What do you mean? Is the pastor?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, they have a pastor. What do you think he's going to say about that?" I said, no, not after this weekend they don't." And all of a sudden, this is starting to make sense to me. I was half kidding at that point. But 2 weeks later, Bill Poston came to see me, who's still an elder here in our church. He didn't have an idea in the world that I was thinking about the pastor, but he was a fellow colleague over Capital Seminary. And he said, "Hey, Lon," he said, you wouldn't have any interest in being the pastor of McLean Bible Church, would you?" And I said, "Well, I might, Bill. Why?" They said, "Well, we've been sitting around talking about who we might want to interview, and because you were there 5 years ago, a lot of people know who you are, and we just thought maybe it'd be worth us having a conversation." I called Brenda back up and said, "Brenda, go get more boxes. We're going to McLean Bible Church. I'm telling you, I know it as sure as I know. I know what my name is." And how did I know that? Friends, all you had to do is keep your eye on what God was doing and on the circumstances as they were unfolding, and the will of God started to become patently clear. I'll tell you one final little anecdote. I was over here interviewing, not in this building, obviously, but I was over interviewing, and I had a meeting with the congregation just before they were going to vote on me the next week, and one gentleman out there who did not want me to come, and that was fairly obvious, said to me, he said, "Well, Reverend Solomon," he said, "my question is, the constitution of this church says you need 75% vote of the congregation to be called as the pastor." He said, "My question is, how much more than that? What higher percentage of that would you need in order to be confident it was God's will for you to come here and be the pastor?" And I said, "Sir," I said, it will be such a miracle if I get 75%, that 75.1% will be all I need to know, sir, to come here and know this is the will of God. I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to be completely serious. Well, you know, I made it. I made it by 3 votes. The chairman of the board here never told me that for years because he said he was afraid he'd discourage me. It was years later when he told me what the actual vote was. I made it by 3 votes. But you know what? I knew it was God's will for me to come to this church. All I did is watch the circumstances God was bringing in my life. And friends, what I'm here to tell you is when the buoys of God's word and the buoy of the advice of godly people and the buoy of the circumstances and the events God's bringing your way, when they all start to line up in one direction, you can be fairly certain that you've got the will of God coming at you. Now, there's 2 more buoys I want to give you before we finish. Number 4 is sanctified common sense. You say, what in the dickens is that? Well, I'll tell you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Listen, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. Now watch. Then you will be able to evaluate and discern what God's perfect will for your life is. Folks, the Bible tells us that one of the blessed results of renewing our mind is that we become able to evaluate the world around us and discern God's leading and God's will. The real question is, what does it mean to renew our mind? Well, to renew our mind refers to the process of saturating our minds each and every day with the written Word of God. My grandfather, my father's father, used to have big 50-gallon vats in his house, and a couple times a year, he'd pour these huge barrels of cucumbers into these vats, and he'd put this I thought as a little kid, it was a stinky solution in there. And then he'd let them sit in there for a while. And when they came out, they weren't cucumbers anymore. They were big, luscious, crisp, dill, Jewish pickles. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that the Bible says that the Word of God is God's supernatural pickling solution. You understand what I'm saying? You soak your mind in the Word of God day after day after day, and it will come out different. It won't be a cucumber anymore. It'll be a luscious, beautiful, kosher dill pickle. What I'm trying to say is that when we soak our mind in God's Word, we will be able to look at the issues of life, and we will be able, the Bible says, to sense God's will, to smell God's will. God's will stand out and make good sense to us. Listen, Psalm 103, verse 7 says, God made known his acts to the children of Israel, but he made his ways known to Moses. Now look at the difference there. The children of Israel saw what God did, but they didn't understand what made God tick. God says he let Moses understand what made God tick, what his ways were. Not just what he did, but why he did what he did. And as we saturate our mind with the Word of God, God does that very same thing for us. So that as we begin to look at the world, understanding deeply how God works and what makes him tick, it begins to become obvious to us what God is up to. I believe God wants us to use our brains, my friends, but he wants us to use brains that have been renewed by the truth of the Word of God. To use an unrenewed brain to try to figure out where God is taking you is a very dangerous thing to do. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. If you have an unrenewed mind that's not in the Word of God, you will never figure out what God is up to. But look, the spiritually attuned person can make judgments about all things. Number 5 and finally, the final buoy is the guidance, the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. When you cry to the Lord for guidance, he will answer you, Isaiah says, and you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, whose voice is that behind you telling you that? Well, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit himself. Jesus said, John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. I often have people come to me and say, Lon, what should I do about this? What's God's will about this? And I say, you know what? I can't tell you that. You got to get on your knees until he says to you, this is the way, walk in it. A lot of people refer to this as having a sense of peace about something. Now, let me just say, it is dangerous to make this buoy the exclusive one we use to determine God's will for our life. It is one of five buoys, but many people make this the only one they use. That's dangerous, and I'll tell you why. It's because I've learned after 35 years of being a follower of Christ that if I really want to do something bad enough, I can whoop up a sense of peace real quick about doing it. I can. So be careful. This is one of five buoys. But don't make this the only one you go by, because we're all too fragile as human beings and we're all too vulnerable to our own human flesh to let this be number one, the one that we use. So let's summarize. What have we learned? Want to figure out where God is leading? Well, God's given us five buoys to help us navigate down the channel. And what we're looking for is those areas in life where they line up all five in a row. And then we know that's God's leading in our life. Buoy number one, the written word of God. Buoy number two, the advice of godly people. Buoy number three, the circumstances, the events that God brings in our life. Buoy number four, sanctified common sense. And buoy number five, the guidance of the Holy Spirit directly, having a peace, a confidence, and a liberty directly from the Holy Spirit. Now, except for number one, the Word of God, every one of these other buoys is insufficient all by itself to reveal God's will to us. But when all five of them start lining up, as I said, we can be confident that we're looking at God's will. Now, conversely, let me say that if we're considering some choice, some decision, some course of action in life, and one or more of these buoys are grossly out of line, friends, then my advice to you is that we need to wait at those times and pause and take no action until either God resolves this situation and all five buoys are lined up, or until God makes another course of action clear. If in doubt, don't. If those five buoys are not lined up, don't do it. Listen, I have never regretted waiting longer for God to get all five of those buoys in a straight line. But I have often regretted making knee-jerk decisions and actions when the buoys weren't lined up and running out there in my own wisdom and energy and making mistakes that I regretted for long, long, long periods of time. I hope the little series we've done on the leading of God has been helpful. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thanks for reminding us in these last 3 weeks that you are a God who leads your children. You lead us specifically. You lead us precisely. You lead us according to a very carefully laid out plan that extends down to the smallest details of life. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would come out of this short series encouraged in the role that God wants to play every day personally in our lives. And that, Lord, we would allow you to play that role, that you would find us to be good followers, Lord, as we let you lead. Thank you that you always lead safely and you always lead benevolently. And Lord Jesus, that we can always follow your lead with confidence. So make us good followers, Lord, and use this short series to change the very way we think about life and the way we live it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?